Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to the Frequency of the Past, your home of mystery, sci-fi, suspense, thriller, audiobooks, and more. If you enjoyed this episode, please let me know through the comments on Spotify, my email at mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com, my social media, mysteryfreak, F-R-E-Q on Twitter, or mysteryfrequency on Instagram and Blue Sky. And as always, if you enjoy this podcast, please consider following, reviewing, and rating. And a big thank you to all those who already have. Now with all that, please enjoy the show.
Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. NBC presents Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
Hi there. You know, when it comes to losing jobs, I got about the best batting average in town. Something always happens. I mean, either I strike out on a secretary's curves or else I get put out for dropping a suggestion in a suggestion box, suggesting that the boss drop dead. I start out with the best of intentions, but there's always something wrong with the setup. You take what happened last week. I land myself a job that pays $100 an hour, and at last I think I'm really living. And then I find out when it's time to collect that you're liable not to be living.
One moment, please.
What is it?
Miss Chandler?
I'm her secretary. What do you want?
Instant messenger service.
We don't want any.
Look, honey, it's 8 a.m. This is my first job. Now, don't give me a hard time.
Now, look, Sonny, I handle all of Miss Chandler's affairs, and we don't want a messenger.
Oh, how would you like
what
to get
is
a...
It?
This boy in the man suit says you called for a messenger.
Oh, yes, I did. For the package.
Well, you're not really going to send it, Laura.
I've got to.
I still think you're making a mistake.
I haven't any choice.
Well, then why not let me deliver it for you?
No, I thought it over. That neighborhood's dangerous, Eve.
Well, nobody's going to kidnap little Evie, darling.
Who's going to pay the ransom?
Why don't you run along?
Please, Eve, let me handle it.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, honey. It's your own funeral. Only I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him.
About 800 yards, left-handed.
Leave us alone, Eve, please.
Nice kid. Where does she live, in the refrigerator?
You'll have to excuse Eve. She's been with me for years. She's very devoted. I have a seat, Mr.
Fortune. Rocky Fortune.
You don't look like a messenger boy. You're older.
Well, my boss is very inefficient. He always sends a man to do a boy's work.
Will you have a drink? I think I need one.
Well, I don't usually start at 9 a.m.
Excuse me.
Yeah, steady, honey. Here, pull yourself together. You're shaking.
I had a bad night.
Hey, charge your batteries.
Thank you. Now, let me see.
Messenger service, remember?
Oh, yes. I left the package in my room. I won't be a moment. Will you wait?
Forever. Laura Chandler is a blonde with a figure like Swedish stemware. Tall and slender and curved in the right places.
She walks out and I look around. The place is a plush two-story studio apartment, and from the drawing equipment, I figure her for one of these high-class fashion designers. I begin to wonder if she'll make it back before the nervous breakdown sets in.
Here's the package.
Where to?
14 Barbary Street.
How? That's a pretty rough neighborhood.
Room 2B. Here's the key. Go in and leave this package on the table. You'll find another package. Pick it up and bring it to me.
This doesn't sound like fashion proof.
That's my business.
Pardon me.
And one thing. I don't want you snooping in the packages.
Well, it's been grand meeting you, Miss Chandler.
Where are you going?
I insult very easily.
Just a minute.
Well?
I'm sorry. Please, I'm terribly upset.
Hungover, they call it.
No, I haven't been well. Please forgive me.
Okay, you want kiss and make up?
It's very important to me that this package be delivered and the other package returned unopened. I'll pay you well.
Well meaning what?
$100.
What's in this package? A new slim silhouette for the H-bomb?
Nothing like that. Will you take the job?
Yeah, one condition.
What's that?
Advance me 30 cents for a couple of subway tokens.
Here. Here's $10.
Honey, I just want two tokens, not a seat on the stock exchange.
Take a cab. Here's the package. Be careful.
Don't worry.
Do a good job and...
Yeah?
I'll be very grateful.
Oh, in that case, lay off the happy juice. I may even ask you out to dinner tonight. I'd rather you were sober.
I'm afraid I'm too expensive, Mr. Fortune.
Rocky. And don't worry about it. I'm rich. If I live to collect. I leave the apartment with the distinct feeling that something peculiar is in the wind, and that it ain't the Fulton Fish Market. I leg it out the lobby past the doorman in full admiral's uniform and flag down a cab.
Whither to?
14 Barbary Street. And pal, don't ever put the flag down before the cab starts next time.
I can see this is going to be a fat tip.
Don't give me a hard time, Max.
Yes, sir. I can remember when the subway was good enough for you guys.
It still is, if you'd like to stop here.
Oh, no offense, Excellency.
You know, if you pipe some of that gas into the tank, you'd be a rich hacky. Don't look around, Junior, but the light is green. Move. I feel refreshed after this little exchange of pleasantries and settle back to untie the wrapping on Laura Chandler's package. Not that I'm the suspicious type, understand, but when somebody offers me $100 to deliver a package, I like to make sure I'm not playing patsy with a pumpkin full of microfilm. And just as I get the wrapping undone, Max tromps the brake pedal. And I find myself up to the knees in nice, crisp $100 certificates.
Hey, mister, you dropped your money.
Why don't you give out safety belts in these things if you're going to stop this way?
What are you, a messenger for the United States Mint?
Just turn around, pal, and keep going. I'll gather up the cabbage.
What do you think this is, an armored truck? Next time you rob a bank, hire a van.
If you really want to know, this is Halloween money. I got it playing trick-or-treat.
Where? The First National Bank?
You're clever.
Yeah, stop soaping me, bud. I know real money when I see it. And I seen it.
Max guns the cab while I collect the spilled lettuce. I figure there must be $4,000 or $5,000, and I've just wrapped it up again when Max goes in another one of his famous quick stops. What now?
Out. Nous sommes arrivés, Lafayette. Which means we're here, 14 and Barbara.
I never thought we'd make it. What's the wrap?
65 cents.
Here's a 10.
Thanks.
Hey.
Huh?
You'll excuse the expression. The change. $9.35.
Yeah. Here.
Here's a buck. Get yourself a B-29.
I already got one.
Barbary Street is a dead end in the worst slum in town. Number 14 is a condemned building. I pick my way past a couple of prostrate bums and a garbage can, and I'm about to walk in when somebody taps me.
Pencil, mister? Help an old blind lady? Pencil?
Here, Mom. Keep the pencil. I got nobody to write to.
Bless you, son.
On second thought, I'll take it, Mother.
Here, you crumb.
The hallway is decrepit pink plaster that is crumbling crumb by crumb. I let myself into room 2B, which resembles a sanctuary for unemployed mice. There's no packet, so I deposit my bundle of government greenery and wait. After a couple of minutes, I hear something coming. It's the old blind lady's stick tapping down the hall. She comes in and goes to the moolah on the table like a St. Bernard goes to a fallen traveler. Pays better than selling pencils, huh, Mom?
Keep your trap shut. The stuff here?
The stuff is there, and it's so green, it's mellow. How about the package I was supposed to collect?
In my bag. Here.
Fair exchange. What's in it?
None of your business.
Thanks. Can I help you down the stairs, Mother dear?
I can find my way. Don't try to follow me.
Me follow a lady? Perish the thought. I give her a head start and pick up the package and head for the door. And I am just in time for lowering of the 9 o'clock boom, which descends on the back of my skull as I step into the hallway. Sometime later, I regain consciousness. The first thing I notice is a clammy hand inside my pocket. The second thing I notice is that it ain't mine. I keep my eyes closed and then mousetrap the guy. Okay.
Ow. You're breaking my arm, brother.
I ought to break your... Well, well, if it ain't Sam Socrates, the philosophical pickpocket. How is the biggest thief in town?
Rocky. My old companion from Gramercy Park. As Schopenhauer said, it's a small world.
Is that what he said? How are things in the pickpocket union?
Oh, haven't you heard, my boy? I've been elected international representative.
Oh, goody for you. Congratulations.
A hipster like you should know better than to lay in the dust in a creep joint like this. Why, if I hadn't come along, you might have been rolled.
Somebody laid one on my skull bone. Hey, you know the old blind woman?
Rosie?
I think she hit me with a pogo stick.
Rosie's new around here. But I don't think she goes for mugging. It was probably the other one, the blonde.
Blonde?
The one who came out after Rosie.
You don't say. How was she dressed?
Oh, very glad. About $2,000 worth of mink, present market value, figuring a 10% kickback to the fence.
Figures. You notice anything else?
She was carrying a package about this big.
Go on.
I assumed you had been mugged. Naturally, I don't like to interrupt a colleague while she's working, so I waited.
Naturally.
A professional courtesy. I come in to cop a quick snoop, as they say, and find you laying here like a dead lox.
Thanks, Socrates. Here's a fin for your trouble.
Oh, Rocky, I couldn't accept a gratuity from an old pal. The Beggars Guild would have me up on charges.
Sorry, I didn't mean to offend.
Yeah, however, if you'll just turn around and permit me to sop it out of your pocket, I think we avoid a jurisdictional dispute.
Have it your way, Sam. Brush the creases out of the cashmere while you're at it. I leave the house and walk about 3 steps when a hand falls on my shoulder like it was Judgment Day. I turn around to look into the bloodshot eyes of my good friend, Sergeant Hamilton J. Finger of Homicide.
Halt.
I'm halted. Unclasped, Finger. You're bruising the button.
This the guy?
That's him. He had a roll like he was Boba Rockefeller.
What's the problem, Finger?
The high accuracy says you were flashing a lot of letters.
He's dreaming. He smokes old socks.
I tell you, I seen it.
What about it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
He knows all right.
Let's have a quick frisk. Huh? Well, he's clean.
Then he hit it. You better take him in, Sarge.
Oh, back off. Just a minute. What's the charge? Remember, Sarge, you got to have a charge, Sarge, to arrest a taxpayer.
You got a charge to bring?
He was carrying like $5,000 in real money. That's a crime, ain't it? He's a suspicious character.
You got a charge or just suspicious?
I ain't got a charge. You got a charge, Max?
Me? I ain't got no charge. I just told you what I saw, that's all.
If you two gentlemen will excuse me, I'll be on my way.
Just a minute.
Yes, Sergeant?
Nothing. Beat it.
I walk away like I own City Hall, but inside I'm still 6 different shades of green. I make it to the subway and jockey my way to Laura Chandler's apartment. My head feels like the inside of Yogi Berra's mitt after a hot day in the bullpen.
Oh, it's you.
It's me. It is also I. You got any of that 100-proof battery acid left?
There's some bourbon on the table.
Thanks.
Did you get the package?
Well, it's a long story, but I'll boil it down. No.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Well, it doesn't really matter.
No? You were pretty upset this morning. Did you see a psychiatrist or something?
I decided to calm down.
Uh-huh.
If you don't mind, Mr. Fortune, I'll pay you the $100 and get it over with.
I don't mind, only I don't get it.
Don't get what?
Why a dame pays $5,000 for a package she doesn't get and then brushes it off like it was dead flies.
I see you opened my package.
Uh-huh.
That isn't polite.
It isn't polite to hire a guy to get a package and then hit him over the head and steal the package.
I don't know what you mean.
You know what I mean, baby. You followed me down there and pulled me in the noggin.
You're insane.
You left your mink coat on the table over there. And one will get your tent is covered with pink plaster from 14 Barbary Street.
Here's your money. Now get out.
Uh-uh.
I said get out.
Let's have the package.
That package is none of your business.
I got a lump in my head that says it is.
Get back. I got a gun.
I can see that. And I can also see that you don't know how to use it.
I warn you.
It's a funny thing about those automatics. You can't pull the trigger with a safety catch on. Now, let's have it.
Right.
Come on, give
let
me the...
go.
There. Now, sit down.
Take your hands off me.
I said sit down. That's better. Now, fess up.
Well, I went to a party last night at my editor's. I met a couple. A young man, he said he was an artist, and a woman, a redhead. We'd been drinking.
I gathered as much.
He invited us up to his apartment to see his work.
Oh, brother. Where was the apartment? On Barbary Street?
Yeah. Somehow I got in a quarrel with the other woman. I don't even remember what it was about.
So?
I said I was leaving. He said have one more drink first and then he'd call a cab. I took the drink and then suddenly I felt funny. After that, it's all so horrible.
Give, baby.
I don't know what happened, really. I came to sitting on the sofa. The red-haired woman was lying on the floor. There was blood. In my hands, I had a gun.
Whose gun?
Mine.
Naturally, no nice girl is ever without one.
Well, there have been so many muggings and robberies in the neighborhood lately. My secretary thought I'd better carry one in my purse.
Well, back to Barbary Street. What happened next?
He told me I'd gotten very drunk and we'd quarreled. He said she'd slapped me and I'd taken this gun out of my purse. It seemed to go off before I realized what I was doing. I'm not a murderer. I've never hurt anyone in my life.
All right, take it easy, baby. Now, look, what's with the packages?
The man, Charles, his name was. He told me to go home, that he could have the whole thing hushed up. He said the woman was a tramp and... Well, I was too frightened to argue. I went home. And about 5 this morning, he called. He said he'd need money, $5,000. He said he had the gun with my fingerprints on it, and if I wanted it, I'd better pay up or he'd go to the police.
And you fell for it? Oh, baby, how square can you
get? I don't know why I did it. I suppose the police is the only way.
Just a minute. One more item. How come you conked me?
Well, after you left, I began to wonder if I could trust you, so I followed you down there. I overheard your talk with a blind woman, and I knew you'd opened the package. I waited, and then I hit you and took the package with the gun.
Hmm. Is this the gun?
Yes, that's my gun. What are you doing?
Just want to look inside.
I think we'd better call the police. I'll feel better when...
Relax, baby. Nobody's calling the police.
But the murder...
There was no murder.
What?
Look at the barrel of this gun. It's loaded with rust. Haven't a bullet through here since Grant took Richmond.
But I heard...
You heard a blank. And, honey, I got news for you.
News?
When P.T. Bonham said there was one born every minute, he meant you.
I don't understand.
It's the old badger game in reverse. The whole thing was staged. The artist was phony, the corpse was phony, the bullet was a blank, and the blood was ketchup.
You're sure?
Make bets on it.
Rocky, I don't know how to thank you.
I got a suggestion.
Yes, what?
Don't hurry me now. Just give me time to pucker up. I exit later feeling like a beaver scout with a year's backlog of good deeds. I can still taste Laura Chandler's lipstick and I got $100 burning a hole in my jeans. I got back to the messenger service and put in a phone call to the precinct station. I figure if the crooks aren't in Argentina by this time, my friend Sergeant Finger can start trying to recover the 5 G's. Finger ain't in, so I finish out the day, then hit my flat for a change of drapery. There is a reception committee from the city of New York and it ain't Grover Whalen.
Good evening.
Well, well, Sergeant Hamilton J. Finger, as I live and don't breathe.
Don't bother to shut the door.
You're leaving? I wanted to see you.
We're leaving. I wanted to see you. Hello.
To the Place Gendarme?
The same.
You mind if I ask you why?
Not at all. You read?
Not fluently.
You look at pictures?
Fluently.
You seen the newspapers?
I seen the green sheet in the Morning Telegraph.
According to the evening papers, a woman named Gloria Vern was found murdered. Shot through the heart. Here's a picture in the paper.
So?
So she was found in a place on Barbary Street, number 14, according to the journals, apartment 2B. You familiar with this place?
I spent half the morning laying on my face.
So I recall.
So?
So the lieutenant invites you to the Irish clubhouse for tiffin and mixed grilling.
Shall we promenade?
Be my guest.
I spend the next few hours being pounded on the eardrum by the Inquisition squad. I tell them everything I know, including about the gun which Laura Chandler has at home.
Hey, you say she thought she killed this woman, but the gun wasn't fired.
The barrel was stuffed with rust.
She has this cannon?
She had it when I left her this morning.
And she dropped $5,000 to an old blind woman without even feeling sorry?
I told you, Sarge, this is a nice girl. She didn't kill Gloria Verne.
Nice girls don't go on drunks with Greenwich Village con artists.
So she made a mistake.
Maybe you made the mistake, Rocky. Come on.
Where now?
Laura Chandler's apartment. I want to gaze into her cold blue eyes. Also, her cold blue automatic.
We prowl up to Park Avenue and press the buzzer of Laura Chandler's apartment.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, I brought a friend along for you, baby. Sergeant Finger of Homicide. This is Eve Hobson, Miss Chandler's secretary.
Pleased, I'm sure. Is your employer home?
She's asleep. She wasn't feeling well, so she took some sleeping pills.
She's been asleep all day?
As far as I know. I went out on business for about an hour.
Wake her up.
Not without a pretty good reason.
Murder is a pretty good reason.
Murder?
Get her.
Eve, who is it? Oh, hello, Rocky.
Miss Chandler?
Yes?
Sleeping pills don't work so good, I see. They never do much for a guilty conscience.
I beg your pardon.
This is Sergeant Finger, Laura. Homicide.
Homicide?
You've heard of it, I see.
I don't understand.
I'll be brief. You're under arrest.
Under arrest?
You recognize this picture in the paper?
Laura, don't say a word.
It's no use, Rocky. It was nice of you to pretend I didn't kill her, but it's her picture. That's the woman I shot.
Laura, for Pete's sake, you didn't
and
do it.
And you got the gun?
Yes, I left it in my desk drawer. Here.
That gun hasn't been fired for years,
Let's
I tell you.
Let's have a look. Okay, Miss Chandler, get your coat.
Filled with rust, huh?
Rocky, the barrel of this gun is as clean as the inside of a hospital cafeteria, and judging by the smell, it's been fired recently.
What? Let me... Holy smokes. Laura, did you use this gun?
I left it in the desk drawer.
You've been asleep all afternoon?
Yes, I took some sleeping pills.
Okay, Miss Chandler.
Hold it, Sergeant.
Well?
And they got some kind of a test to prove if a party fired a gun?
A paraffin test.
If Laura fired a blank, could you tell?
It's the same as if she fired a real bullet.
In other words, anybody who fired a gun, it shows up, huh?
That's right.
Rocky, it's no use.
Let me handle it, baby.
You can get 10 years in the cast iron academy for shielding a murderer, Rocky.
Let me talk a minute, will you?
Talk.
How long has this Gloria Verne been dead?
The medical examiner says about 4 hours.
4 hours? Oh, no, I killed her last night.
Hold it, honey. Laura, tell me, could anybody have taken that gun out of your drawer, gone downtown, shot the dame, and then put the gun back?
Who would have done anything like that, and why?
I don't know, but I got a good idea.
Go ahead, Fortune.
Well, let me paint the picture. Somebody stages a fake murder to make Laura think she killed Miss Verne. Somebody gets $5,000 in return for the murder weapon and disposing of the body. And then I fumble my way into the frame and spot it for a fake. Maybe I call the police. So somebody takes the gun and kills Miss Verne for real.
Okay. Who done it?
Eve Hobson.
What? Sergeant, the boy is delirious.
You're the only one who could have taken that gun. Gone out, shot Miss Verne, and replaced it, baby.
Rocky, it's a little preposterous. Eve has been with me for years.
If it's so preposterous, then how about little Eve here taking a paraffin test to see if she's fired a gun recently?
Don't be ridiculous.
And while we're at it, honey, how's the pencil selling business?
Pencil selling business? No, I know he's mad.
You do a pretty convincing old blind woman, except for one thing. You were selling artist pencils with a special soft lead, the kind your boss uses for making her fashion sketches. Here's the one she sold me, Sarge.
Miss Hobson, do you object to a paraffin test?
Not in the slightest. I'll get my coat.
Okay.
If that dame didn't do it, then my name is... Look out, she's got the window open. Grab her, sir.
Okay, miss.
Take it easy.
Maybe you won't.
Oh, is that enough for you, Sergeant?
Yeah, that's enough. Let's go, miss.
Do you want me?
Just stay where we can reach you. You too, Rocky. Let's go, Miss Hobson.
Well?
Well?
You got any more messages to be delivered, lady?
Only one.
What's that?
This. I like your messenger service, mister.
Laura.
Yes, Rocky.
Next time, don't send for a boy. This is a man's work.
Yeah.
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose, fancy-free, and frequently unemployed young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Tonight's cast included Marion Richmond, Georgia Ellis, Bill Justine, Parley Bear, and Ted Von Eltz. Tonight's script was written by George Leppert, and Andrew C. Love directed. Eddie King speaking. Now, to tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Did I ever tell you about the bebop musician who dropped me into a hotel shaft and said, "Man, dig that crazy grave"? He meant mine. Tell you about it next week. See you around.
Let's visit with Fibber McGee and Molly tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Hello again, mystery fans. If you're enjoying this episode, please consider giving me a 5-star rating. It's the best way to support the show.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. NBC presents Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
As a kid, a couple of maiden aunts made me practice the bull fiddle to strengthen my character. It didn't do much for my character because I hocked the fiddle and ran away from home. Every once in a while, though, I got a chance to pick up a couple of bucks playing with a small combo at a Polish wedding or a bar mitzvah. The last job I had was neither. It was more of a funeral. My own. Yeah?
Hey, Dad, I want to speak to Rocky Fortune.
You got him.
Rock! This is Bugsy. Bugsy Barton.
Well, hiya, Jazzbo. Hi. Where you been?
Me and the cats have bounced a little flea back called the Hotel Zanzibar. You dig that place?
I've been there. How's America's greatest bebop horn?
Gaining altitude, man. Gaining altitude.
Getting tall, huh?
Yeah, real high. Y'all looking for a little gainful employment?
You mean music?
Dad, I don't mean bricklaying.
Bugs, I ain't played the bass for 5 years. Also, my instrument is with Uncle. I hocked it for train fare.
Man, that don't signify. We'll scuffle up a bass for you.
How much and where?
The Zanzibar. $15 in the pad for the night.
See you in a half hour.
Solid, solid. Plant you now and dig you later.
Whatever happened to that line? I invest the subway token, and 20 minutes later, I am in the jungle room of the Hotel Zanzibar, which is a cheap 3-story flea bag on Bleakman Street. On the bandstand is Bugsy Barton and his 5 barrels of bop. Bugsy is a musician's musician, and the boys are playing strictly from Memphis. After the set, Bugsy comes over and sits down with me. This boy is 5 feet wide across the chest, and he doesn't know from his own strength.
Rock, boy, give me some skin, man.
Easy, Bugs, you're breaking up the metacarpals. What's up?
My bass player's on the sauce. I need somebody to take his place tonight.
Well, I ain't much of a bass player, Bugs.
Well, that don't matter, man. All you gotta do is stand up there and wallop the Wurlitzer. I just want to cover the boy to keep the hotel manager from blowing his top.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Where's the fiddle?
You go up to Johnny's room, 212. Get his fiddle and come on down.
Johnny?
Johnny Lament, man. The best double bass you ever laid an eardrum on.
Yeah, of course. He used to play with Goodman, didn't he?
Oh, this Johnny's been all over town, Rock. Man, when he's sober, he can play all over that instrument. Hits every register but the cash register.
What's wrong?
Girl trouble. Used to have a little thrush called Evie Johnson. She and Johnny had a falling out and he's taking it pretty hard. Come on, man. You better hustle. We're on in 10 minutes.
I hop the self-service elevator up to 2 and look for room 212. It ain't very hard because it's the only room with a built-in trombone player.
Yes?
This Johnny Lament's room, baby?
What do you want?
I'm Rocky Fortune. I'm sitting in for Johnny till he comes in for a landing. Which won't be soon by the looks of him.
You still haven't said what you want.
Oh, pardon me. I need the fiddle.
Don't you have your own instrument?
Honey, don't give me a bad time. I need the fiddle.
Come in.
Thanks.
Hello, Sonny. Now, who's that?
Take it easy, Johnny.
Evie. Evie, you come back, huh? Is that you, Evie?
Oh, this kid's for Bellevue.
Evie.
Johnny, go back to sleep.
Now, put some more music on, baby. Play me something sad. If you see my baby, you send her home to me. If you see my baby, you send her home to me. Tell my baby I'm sad as I can be. Who's that cat?
Name's Rocky Fortune, Johnny. I'm sitting in with Bugsy and the boys tonight. I need your fiddle.
Hey, sure, man. Anything you say, man. You want a drink, man? At Dolores, honey, give this righteous cat a little drink.
Thanks, I don't touch it, John.
Say, man, you see my Evie any place around? See the little chick about so high with the softest blonde hair? You seen her, man?
Afraid not, Johnny.
The fiddle's in the closet, Rocky.
Thanks, baby. I didn't catch the name.
I didn't throw it. It's Dolores Kane. I'm Bugsy's new singer.
Pleased to meet you. Hey.
Yes?
What's the gun on the shelf for?
Oh, it's Johnny's. Don't worry. I already threw the bullets out the window.
Clever girl.
Thank you.
And pretty, too.
Thank you. And don't forget the bass fiddle.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Come in.
It's 11:10, Miss Kane.
Oh, write down, Mr. Quaid.
In case no one has informed you, Miss Kane, I pay you and Mr. Barton to put on a show in my club at 10:30. It is now 11:10.
I'm sorry, Mr. Quaid. We were just...
I can see what you were just... Is this drunken Paganini going to perform tonight?
Well, Johnny isn't feeling so good, Mr. Quaid, but Mr. Fortune here is going to take his place.
Fortune? I don't believe I've ever heard of him.
Rocky Fortune? Why, he's one of the greatest bass players in the business.
I'm paying for the greatest.
Rocky, tell Mr. Quaid how you and Dixie had him screaming for mercy at Ligeas Hot in Paris last year.
Well, yeah, I don't want to brag, baby.
Oh, go on.
Well, you see, we was playing a dog watch from 12 to 4. And sudden, like, Dixie gets off on Japanese Sandman. Everybody said Dix was losing his lip, but that night he was blowing up a storm. I'm just playing along when up he comes, boogity, boogity, open horn, and every note looked like it was greased and stuffed. Pretty soon, the cats were jumping and pandemonium breaks loose. French bankers were tearing their clothes off. You know, it took 150 gendarmes to calm the joint down.
That's very interesting, Mr. Fortune, but the next show is due to start in 3 minutes, if you don't mind.
Me? I don't mind. See you later, Johnny.
Anything you say, man. You see my Evie down there, you tell her Johnny says come back here. You tell her I heard Johnny's been to Weep City for her and he wants him back.
I shoulder the fiddle down to the jungle room just as Bugsy and the boys get off on Sweet Lorraine. We start off playing what the French call the In Time. We call it In the Closet. After a while, the joint starts jumping, and for the next 5 hours, I slap that bass until the gut turns black and blue. Also, my hand. Half the time, I'm in two different keys, but nobody cares. And the fans figure I'm another Eddie Safransky, because I'm playing notes that don't even exist. About 4 in the a.m., the whole deal builds to a crescendo till I think the top of my head's going to fly off. And then suddenly, we're playing 16 bars of Goodnight, Sweetheart, and it's all over. I think.
Okay, cut. That does it. Thanks, Rock.
Well, how did it go, pal?
Oh, I tell you, sweet and groovy like a 90-cent movie, man.
Yeah, what happens now?
You won't play again tomorrow? We got a room for you on the third floor if you need a pad for the night.
$15?
15.
You got it.
Solid. Here's a key.
Say, how's Johnny Lament?
Oh, still on his hip.
He's taking this thing kind of hard, isn't he? What happened to him?
Him and Evie had a big thing. Tonight she walked out, bag and baggage.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, it's dames for you. Invest heavy and come out light. See you in the a.m.
You'll pardon the expression, but what time?
The boys stop seeing double about 11. We rehearse at 12.
I
I lug the bull fiddle up to the third floor and head for my room. I don't get very far, however, because halfway down the hall I hear something which ain't music. Hey, what's going on in there? Open up! Open up!
No, no.
Take it easy, baby. Wait a minute. Just a minute. What's wrong?
In the bedroom.
Before I have a look, would you mind putting down the knife?
Knife? I didn't even know.
Unless that's ketchup on it, baby. Maybe you better tell me what's in that room.
It isn't possible.
It never is. Pardon me while I take a look. Don't go away. I sprint for the bedroom, get the door halfway open, and I stop. There on the bed is the body of a beautiful little blonde. And one look tells it all. Some cat's killed a canary. All right, Dolores, let's have it.
This can't be.
Come on, baby, what happened here?
I finished singing my last number, and I had a drink at the bar. It made me sleepy, and I came up to the room and passed out. I woke up a minute ago. Eve was lying on the bed, and knife was in my hand. Rocky, I didn't kill her. Honest, I didn't.
Now, just to take it easy. If you didn't, who did?
I don't know. I swear to you, it happened just the way I said. When I saw her, I screamed and then...
Take it easy. Look, open your eyes.
What?
I said open your eyes. Look at me. Okay.
Well, what was that for?
Just checking, honey. Somebody slipped you a Mickey. Your pupils are contracted.
It was the drink. I know it.
You know why anybody would want to frame you for Eve Johnson's murder?
Well, why should anyone?
Somebody did, baby. Now, come on, we got to work fast. Whoever did this has probably phoned the gendarmes already.
What can we do?
I don't know. At 4 a.m., you... Wait a minute, listen. You go out and press the elevator button.
What are you going to do?
Get rid of the body. Now, get moving. Dolores holds the elevator while I carry Eve's body in. Then I tell her to hold the button until I can hustle down to the first floor. I hit the lobby just as my good friend, Detective Sergeant Hamilton J. Finger of Homicide, comes on like Buster's gang.
Pardon me, Sam.
Yes?
Homicide, we got a tip on a body in room 310.
Oh, there must be some mistake, Sergeant.
Well, well, my old cellmate, Hamilton Finger.
I might have known. Is this one of your practical jokes, Fortune?
I don't know from what you're talking, Sarge.
Step over the elevator with me. We'll go upstairs, Rocky.
Anything you say. Look, what brings you here?
I ain't sure, but I think it's a corpse.
I jab the elevator button and we wait for the car. My pumper is playing footsie with my Adam's apple as the car comes down. And the door is open. And I nearly drop dead. The car is as empty as Ebbets Field in December. We ride up to room 310, which belongs to Dolores Kane. Hey, Sarge, what's it all about?
You'll find out.
Yes?
Open up, baby. Homicide.
Sergeant Finger, Miss Kane.
You've met.
Dolores sings for Bugsy. I've been sitting in. That's musician's talk.
You mind if I look around?
Help yourself. You mind if I ask you what you're looking for?
We got a phone call, said there was a dead woman in this room.
That isn't very flattering.
What's in there?
Take a look.
Empty.
I think somebody's been pulling your legs, Sergeant.
Both of them.
Where's the bedspread?
In the hamper.
Excuse me. I suppose this is nail polish.
How did you know?
Yogi. Mind if I take it down to the lab for analysis?
If you'll have it laundered.
Okay, what's in the closet?
Oh, that's a small dragon named Lancelot. Careful he doesn't bite you.
Funny.
Boo.
Okay, I'll have the bedspread analyzed for bloodstains. Now, don't go away, either one of you.
We wouldn't think of it. Nighty night, Sarge.
And no more practical jokes, you understand?
What did you do with it?
What?
The body.
It's in the elevator.
Not anymore, it ain't.
What do you mean?
It never made the first floor. The car was empty.
That's impossible.
Eve Johnson's body didn't walk out of that car, baby. Somebody lifted it.
But that means somebody must have stopped the car on the second floor.
Correct. The next question is, who would want to steal a corpse?
What'll we do?
Well, Finger's going to find bloodstains on that spread. And when he does, he'll be back with some ticklish questions. And I got a hunch we better have the answers. Let's move. We start a room-to-room canvass of the second floor. Dolores takes one card and I take the other. Result? A big fat goose egg. I finish my card and go look for Dolores. She's gone, but from the sound of voices, I figure she stopped off to see how Johnny Lament is making out. I start to go in, but I change my mind.
Johnny, cut it out.
She's dead, ain't she? My little Evie's dead.
Oh, don't be crazy.
I ain't crazy, baby. Not anymore.
What makes you think she's dead?
I could see it in your eyes when I asked you about it.
But it matters so much. She walked out on you, didn't she?
She'd come back if she was okay. I know Evie. Come on, Dolores. What happened to her?
How should I know?
You know, baby. You said you was going to kill her.
You're out of your head.
She told me. She says, Johnny boy, Dolores is jealous of you. And she says, if I don't stop seeing you, she'll kill me.
It's not true.
Come on, baby. I know you. We were married once, you and me. Remember? Now, let's have it. What'd you do to Eve?
Nothing.
That don't wash, baby. That just don't wash.
Johnny, stay away.
You're going to tell me, honey. Where's Evie? What'd you do to her?
Johnny, you're crazy drunk. Now, get away.
You're going to talk?
Johnny! No! Johnny!
Talk!
No!
All right, hold it, John.
Get out of here.
Knock it off. You all right, baby? Not that I really care.
I'm all right.
Sit down, Jazzbo.
Is she your new boyfriend, baby? Is that not like his face, and I think I changed.
Sit down.
Johnny!
He's all right. I ought to belt him, and I ought to clip you, too.
I don't understand.
I heard it, baby. I got big ears. You didn't bother to tell me you were married to Johnny Lament, and you didn't bother to tell me you and Eve had a slight falling out.
I wanted you to help me. I was afraid.
You wanted a patsy, baby, and you got one. Only you're about to lose him, because Rocky boy's going to walk away from all this right down to the nearest police station.
Rocky, no.
All that bilge about how you were framed and me with my open mind. I got a hole in my head.
Rocky, it's not true.
Yeah, well, tell Dick, the fun-loving rover boy, when he comes to, I'll leave his fiddle in the band room. So long, baby. And the next time you want a corpse moved, call the Seven Santini brothers. I don't belong to the right union. To my room as mad as a centipede with a hot foot and lugged the big bass fiddle down to the band room, which is right across the hall from Johnny Lament's room. The empty fiddle case is standing in the corner. I start to lay it down flat and it weighs about a ton. And even before it slips out of my hands, I know why. Holy smokes.
Okay, fly boy. Get him up high.
So you're the guy who was all busted up about losing his best girl.
Back against the wall.
A real nice guy. Kills his doll and tries to hang it on his ex-wife. You're a doll, Buster.
She found out I was pushing dope and threatened to go to the cops. I had to kill her.
Why, you crummy dope peddler. It's misfits like you to give honest musicians a bad name.
Don't run your mouth at me, Fortune. If you'd have kept out of it, you'd be all right.
You're going to have a tough time trying to get rid of two corpses, John Boy. A fiddle case only holds one.
I'll worry about that. I'll turn around.
Sure, pal, anything you say. Only before I do, there's one thing I think you ought to know.
Yeah?
Dolores took the bullets out of your gun. Hello. Hello.
Yes, please?
Who is this?
The manager. What is it, please?
Listen, Quade, this is Rocky Fortune. I'm up in the band room, 215. Now, listen. Eve Johnson's body's up here in a bass fiddle case. And I got the cat that killed her. And get the cops and make it fast.
You say you've got the man who stabbed her?
Stretched out like a herring.
That's just fine, Fortune. Stay right there. I'll call the police.
Make it fast. I hear somebody coming now.
Don't worry. You'll be taken care of.
It takes about 2 seconds before lightning strikes. How did Quade know she was stabbed, and how did he know it was a man? Suddenly, little wheels start to spin around in my noodle. Quade is in on it. Sure he is. He's probably supplying Johnny Lament with the stuff. And what's more, he's undoubtedly on his way up here right now. I start to pick up Johnny Lament's .45 and remind myself that Dolores Kane has removed the bullets. A hand turns the doorknob, but it can't be Quade so soon. I just pray that one of the cats has come to get his instrument. The door opens. I freeze.
Hey, Dad. Put the thing down. You gone goony?
Bugsy. Brother, am I glad to see you.
Now put down the heater, man. What's going on in here?
Take a look in that fiddle case.
Holy smokes. Eve.
Yeah, here's the little boy who did it.
Johnny?
Admitted it. I had to flatten him.
Well, you did real good.
Not good enough. Listen, Bugs. The manager's on his way up here right now, and unless I miss my guess, he's got heavy artillery.
Well, Quaid? Is he in on this?
He is now. I got to get out of here.
Well, what you going to do?
I got a sudden brainstorm. Look, help me get Eve Johnson's buddy out of this case. Come on, pal. Get with it. Come
okay,
on.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Where to?
In the closet.
Yeah.
Attaboy. Now, dump Laughing Boy into the bass drum.
Right. Now, open the door.
Yeah. Look, you think you can lift that case with me in it?
Are you kidding?
Attaboy, muscle man. Here goes.
All right, what you want me to do?
Now, look, you just walk out like you're on your way to a jam session.
Uh-huh.
Once I get past Quaid and his artillery, I'm all right.
Okay. Now, watch your hand. Here goes. How you doing?
Cut the lip dribble and get going before I get blue. The fiddle case fits me like a fatal disease, but I squint down and hold my breath and I figure maybe we'll make it. Bugsy Boy picks me up like I weigh in at 3 pounds just as the door opens.
All right, Fortune, get your...
Hi, Mr. Quaid.
Oh, it's you.
You was expecting somebody else?
I was expecting Fortune. Did he get away?
Fortune? You mean the bass player.
You know who I mean, Muscle Brain. Did he get out?
You know me better than that, boss. I got Rocky Fortune right here. Inside the fiddle case.
So there I am. Smart? They don't come any smarter than old Rocco Fortunato, Jack. It never occurred to me that this hotel might be operating a narcotics dodge and that my pal Bugsy might be in on it. But I'm real tricky, I am. Yes, sirree. I outwit the crook by crawling into a bass fiddle case and letting them snap the catch on me. And there I hang like a cured ham, waiting to be boiled in hot fat.
What do we do with him, boss?
Let me out of here, you punk!
Get him out of here.
Why don't we just drop him down the air shaft? It'll look like an accident.
Don't be a jerk. Take him down to the river.
Anything you say, boss. Hey, Fortune, shut up. My, what a temper this cat has got.
Come on, Bugsy, don't waste any... Who's that?
Search me.
Open up.
Who is it?
Police.
Just a moment. Drop him out the window.
Right.
Open up.
So long, sucker.
Okay, open the door.
What's going on here?
Well, I'd like to know, officer. We came in and found this musician knocked out on the floor.
Where's Fortune?
Fortune? Well, I haven't seen him. Have you, Bugsy?
Fortune? Oh, not a hide, nor a hair either.
Well, I know he came in here to return the fiddle.
He must have left then. Maybe he's in his room.
Yeah. He might have been here, but he left.
Come on, miss. We'll go up to his room.
Something wrong, officer?
Yeah. Fortune's wanted as an accessory to murder.
Hold it!
Oh, no.
Rocky! What are you doing out there?
You won't believe this, Sergeant, but I just climbed out of a fiddle case. These hoodlums dropped me out of the window onto a fire escape one flight down.
What?
He's obviously crazy, probably drunk.
If I'm crazy, brother, then how about opening that closet door? Because I've had a hallucination that Eve Johnson's body's inside.
I'd like to oblige Fortune, but you see, I've got other plans.
Grab
him! Hold it, buddy. All right, don't move, either one of you.
I'm standing still.
Open the closet, Rocky.
Had enough for you, Sergeant?
Yeah. It'll do for the time being. All right, let's go, you two. Keep an eye on Dreamboat there.
Sure, well, if he comes to, I'll belt him with a fiddle.
Let's go.
Phew, boy.
Are you all right, Rocky?
If I can ever straighten up, I'll be fine. What happened up here?
Well, the sergeant came back when he found out those were bloodstains, and I told him the whole story. We came down to look for you, and... Well, I guess you know the rest.
Uh-huh.
You sure you're all right, Rocky?
I'm fine, baby, but I was just thinking.
What?
What they would have said if that fire escape hadn't have been there.
What would they have said?
Man, dig that crazy bass fiddle.
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose, fancy-free, and frequently unemployed young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Tonight's cast included Jack Crucian, Gene Tatum, Tom Holland, Frank Gerstle, and Barney Phillips. Tonight's script was written by George Lefferts, and Andrew C. Love directed. This is Eddie King speaking. Now, to tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Tell you about the Broadway actress who was involved in the murder of a drama critic, and when I asked her for her autograph, she gave it to me with a 45. Tell you about it next week. See you around.
Thank you again for listening, and please share this podcast with all those who like audio dramas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.